Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls. Get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
Ourselves the Night Stalkers.
Sounds like rejects from a Saturday morning cartoon.
Well, we were gonna go with the Care Bears, but that was taken.
Welcome to Super Action Bros podcast. Talk about movies with explosions and car chases
and vampire Pomeranians.
Yep,
that was a thing that happened in this movie.
Why?
Hello, everybody.
I'm Ryan.
Well, I'm Ian. Welcome to Super Action Bros. Welcome to week two of Monster Mash Monthtober 3 Resurrection, in which we are resurrecting some of our favorite movies from the past. We're watching the sequels.
Imagine air quotes when he says favorite.
It helps. Favorite Halloween horror themed monster action movies. And this week we watched the final movie in the Blade trilogy. We'll say Blade Trinity.
They just call it trilogy. There's no weird accents.
No. I like the weird French part of it that I did.
Blade Trinity.
So before we get into Blade Trinity, or as I like to call it, Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool audition tape, let's go ahead and talk about how you can reach out to our show. The easiest way to do that is by visiting the website of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, of which we are a major tentpole part of. So you can go there, go to stuffandthingsnetwork.com, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you can listen to the show right there on the page. There's a little player right there. You can subscribe to us for on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, get new episodes as they come. You can also reach out to us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and a Tumblr, as well as Letterboxd, which is a movie... movie social media site where you can review movies. You get a free app and everything on the App Store. I don't know if it's on Android yet.
It might be.
We're iOS
add dimension
users. Anyway, so
their web app's pretty solid.
As you can tell, Ryan is a vampire. His soul is dead. Oh God, there's the hissing again. All the freaking hissing. Okay. You can also reach out to us individually on social networks by clicking on our photos there at the bottom. But if you want to do it right now, you can find me on Twitter, Ian at iRich. That's at IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter, Ryan Roop, RYANRUPPE.
You can also reach out to us via email on the very front page. Click contact us, fill out the form. Boom. There you go.
That's the sound an email makes when it sends.
Yep, that's
it. I work in email, so I should know.
Yes. So all of that.
So that song, Here Comes the Boom, was written about.
Come ready or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can do all that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, Blade Trinity. Now, This was the first time I've ever seen Blade Trinity all the way through.
Okay, this is the first time I've ever seen this movie, but I do know, like, several to multiple people who have said, oh, yeah, this movie's awesome. And I was going into it with the thought of, oh, this is the best of the Blade movies.
Oh, no, Ryan. The first one is the best of the Blade movie.
Well, see, I know that now.
I think the second one...
But I didn't know that as I embarked on this journey.
The second one is decent. I think the thing that I think saves the second one is Guillermo del Toro. Because it has that kind of Guillermo del Toro look to it. But this one, on the other hand...
I went into... I had forgotten that the last one was the Guillermo del Toro one. I was like, oh yeah, this is the Guillermo del Toro one.
No,
I was like,
oh, that is incorrect.
No, it isn't.
So
let's talk about the people who made this incredible cinematic achievement.
So I think it's important to mention in like the superhero movies, which we watch a lot of, this movie came out in 2004. This is well before shared universe, 4 years before Iron Man. So
this is 4 whole years before Iron Man.
Yes.
Wow.
So things were very different back then as far as like superhero movies were concerned. Everything had its own little universe. There was no shared Marvel continuity.
Nothing crossed over.
Yeah, not at all. So important to bring that up because
especially considering the person who wrote and directed this movie.
Yes. Yeah, so which I was very shocked by. So who wrote and directed this movie?
Mr. DC Cinematic Universe himself, not Zack Snyder, the other one, David S. Goyer.
To be fair, he also did help write The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But he can't rest on that laurel forever.
Because he also made Dark Knight Rises.
And he also helped with the newer movies that are just slowly tanking everything.
Yeah. No, he actually wrote all of the Blade movies.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But he got worse at it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's strange.
Yeah,
but he wrote Blade 2 and Blade. He also wrote Dark City. He also wrote a Nick Fury Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 1998 TV movie starring David Hasselhoff.
Oh, God, he did write that?
Yes, he did. He also wrote Batman Begins and Batman The Dark Knight.
Yeah. So there you go.
And he also wrote Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
I feel like this is a very personal, like, I need to finish this movie.
David S. Goyer really, really, really likes superheroes.
Yes, he does.
I don't know if you knew that.
Very much so.
Really likes them, but is he good at them? ?
I think
let's maybe leave that as a rhetorical question.
I would say I think he's good at writing superhero movies. I don't know about so much directing. There are certain things he can do well.
This is his film debut.
I think
as
he
a director.
Put this way. He's like me. He definitely has a passion for it. But is he meant to write it?
There's a difference between having a passion for and being good at a thing.
Yes.
This is with the exception of a short called Zigzag. No, it's not a short. It's a full length drama. Starring John Leguizamo and Wesley Snipes in 2002. So this was his first big movie, Blade Trinity. And then after that, he's directed a couple of episodes of Da Vinci's Demons and a couple of episodes of Flash Forward.
All right.
Yeah.
The Disney Channel show?
I don't think so. David S. Goyer, he's got his hands just all over all kinds of things all over this
movie. So let's talk about the cast of this movie, which boggles my mind to think about.
The cast of this movie is some people.
A lot of people from a lot of different places in one place.
We got Wesley Snipes.
So, of course, we have Wesley Snipes turning his Blade. What can I say about his performance? He plays Blade is known to play.
He apparently had a breakdown on set.
Really?
And got to the point where he would not speak with David S. Goyer and only would have his assistant hand him Post-it notes on which things had been written.
Why?
Yeah, because he just
was done playing Blade.
Couldn't stand Goyer as a director.
Ugh, all right.
I guess Kris Kristofferson, who plays Whistler, also had some trouble, but was slightly more human about it.
Musician Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
You know what? I wasn't aware that he was in this movie even for a little bit, because he is in this movie for a little bit.
But he was in the other movies.
But I thought, like, every time they do this thing where they like to maybe kill off Whistler and then he comes back. They've done that like two times.
This time, though,
he's dead.
They fridged him. Yeah, he's done. So the rest of the cast.
Well, let's talk about the people who you would expect to be in this movie.
Sure.
And then the people who are like, what are you doing here?
That's fine.
So let's talk about the other two. Let's talk about our comic relief, our main comic relief.
Sure.
Ryan Reynolds is in this movie.
That's right.
And Ryan Reynolds with a beard, which is weird. I haven't seen him with a beard like that before.
Haven't you? Oh, no, I'm thinking of, apparently I just realized.
Do you get Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling confused?
Yes, I do.
That's what it is, I thought. No, but
I didn't realize that till right now.
He's usually, and here's the thing, I was watching it, I'll be honest with you, he is not bad in this movie. He's enjoyable. He does his Ryan Reynolds humor thing.
Yeah.
Which, if you like that sort of thing, if you like Ryan Reynolds funny, you'll enjoy that part of the movie. And like, I'm like, you know, and I was watching it.
It's super annoying.
Do you not like Ryan? Oh, let's put that on the front street. Do you not? I mean, I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds humor style. You haven't watched Deadpool yet, have you?
I haven't. And I never watched Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place really either.
Is that a show he was on?
Yeah, that was the thing that made him famous, was that television show.
I see.
It was eventually shortened to just, I think, Two Guys or Two Girls. I don't know. But it was some sitcom.
Yes,
but,
I know. I'm more of Two Guys, a Girl, and Pizza Place.
Like, I get it. Like, I get his style of humor, the, like, just constantly quippy all the time thing. And I could see how it would be funny. But in this movie, it feels so forced.
It does, but
just,
like,
especially because, like, in a movie,
I'm not saying it's great, I'm just saying, like, it distracts a little bit from the garbage because it makes you laugh for a second and you're like, oh, that's right, I'm watching Blade Trinity.
It's like
thinking of
other action movies in which there is a single person who tends to be quippier than everybody else. I think of, like, Han Solo in the original Star Wars movie.
Okay, yeah,
but he's sort of grumpy and curmudgeonly because he hates all the stuff that's happening and he's annoyed. But Ryan Reynolds in this movie is just kind of like, oh yeah, this is crazy. Like, he's just, like, he's literally just comic relief, and it doesn't fit the situation at all. It's just like, hey, you know what would be good is if he made some jokes here. Otherwise, this scene is really bleak.
Again, I feel like they're like, this guy is popular. Let's put him in this show. Let's put him in this movie. He will do well. And that was all the thought that went into it. But I would argue that somebody may have watched this and been like, okay, he can be funny. Like, here's the thing about Ryan Reynolds.
Let's put Van Wilder in a Blade movie.
And that's probably what the thought was. Here's the thing about Ryan Reynolds.
Probably what the executive said.
Exactly. And here's the thing about Ryan Reynolds, I think. I think Ryan Reynolds can be very funny, but I think a lot of times his looks get in the way of him being funny. Because I have a feeling he'd rather be a comedic.
He's so handsome.
He's a good-looking guy. Like, I think that, like, that's why I think Deadpool works so well for him, is because, you know, they covered his face in scar tissue, made him look like garbage.
Yeah.
And, like, so he actually got to play. He played Ryan Reynolds for a little bit, and then he kind of became Deadpool throughout the course of the movie. So, someone somewhere watched this and is like, okay, he can be funny and do action. So let's think about
Deadpool.
And not
very long after, they put him in Wolverine Origins.
They did, which was his first time playing Wade Wilson. Mm. And then they decided to bring him back for Deadpool. So we also have Jessica Biel in this movie, who as a Whistler's daughter.
Who at one point in a commercial, they advertised her as Jessica Alba. And then they had to recall a commercial.
Oh my God.
So funny to me.
So
Jessica Biel coming off of Seventh Heaven.
I'm just going to say, honestly, I like Jessica Biel.
She's great.
I don't like her in this, though. She's completely worthless in this movie.
Well,
what does she provide at all?
I'll tell you what she provides in this movie. She is a Whistler replacement, but she's a girl. So there's you know, like, lady.
But is she a Whistler replacement? Like, she doesn't. I don't feel that same relationship or chemistry. Like, hey, you knew my dad.
Yeah,
I'm my father's daughter.
Here's the thing. There is, like, her character has no character.
Yeah,
she exists as a cipher. She exists because they're like, hey, let's put a girl in it.
Yeah. We need a girl.
We need a girl in it. And she could do some flips and advertise the iPod.
Yep. Oh, man. Free advertisement for Apple.
No, I'm sure that promotional considerations were taken care of.
Maybe.
Like it's an example of just awful writing where you're like, oh, what is her defining character trait? Well, she's the girl. I'm not even joking.
Absolutely agree with you.
She, like, there's, you know, maybe there are some themes of
characterization,
of like father daughter stuff, or maybe there's some things of revenge, but it's not addressed at all.
But we're going to forget all that.
We're going to forget all that because, look, you can see her belly button.
No, we're going to forget all that. Well, yes, but also, no, we're going to forget all that because it's not called Whistler's Daughter, the movie. It's called Blade. So even though she has the most reason to fight the villain, we're going to let Blade do it because
also,
it's Blade.
And he has less than 100 lines in the entire movie.
Blade?
Including the phrase Gucci Gucci Goo.
Yeah.
That's included in less than 100.
Oh, boy. So let's talk about our villain.
Sure. So are you talking
Dominic
about
Purcell?
Dominic Purcell.
Who is probably best well known for two things now at this point. Number one would be his, he's on that show Prison Break. That's probably what he's most well known for.
He's the Prison Break guy.
That's probably why he was on the show.
That's what everybody knows.
The second thing The second thing he's known for, he's actually in the DC television universe.
He is.
He plays a Heat Wave on. He's the which is the counterpoint to and he's actually pretty good. And it's funny because
he's also Mission Impossible 2.
He's
also in Equilibrium.
That's funny though because you know who plays Captain Cold in that in the Flash, right? The other guy from Prison Break.
Oh, really?
So yeah, they're like buddies in the show.
I didn't realize that there's two guys in Prison Break.
Yeah, there's there's this guy, like the muscle looking one, and there's the thin looking guy, the thinner guy with the thinner face.
I think I just figured like, oh, that guy put on some muscle.
They're both like Prison Break. I think they play brothers in the show. I've never seen.
I think I just saw the same person before and after working out a lot.
No, it's two different guys. Right.
We also have Triple H.
Okay. Yes. Now this is where things start to turn. But you're like, okay, wrestler. Action movie makes sense.
Apparently, they were so impressed with, and his real name is Paul Levesque, so impressed with him that they gave him extra lines.
Okay,
and more to do.
So was this like, if Dwayne can do it,
yep,
all of us can.
You don't remember that? There was like a whole wave of other wrestlers, like way after Hulk Hogan was Suburban Commando.
Yeah,
they tried it again, and it worked with The Rock, and they're like, well.
Hulk Hogan was in movies well before Suburban Commando.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Little movie called Gremlins 2.
I'm just saying.
Ryan?
I'm just saying.
The movie's awful. Have you seen the Key and Peele sketch for Gremlins 2?
No.
Oh, that's great. They're like, it's like this guy coming in, Peele, he comes in, he's like, all these writers at the table, what should be in Gremlins 2? What do you think?
Oh, yes,
like
I
a Gremlin looks like a bat? That's in the movie. Yeah. That's, it's like, yeah, and everything that I mentioned is really in Gremlins 2.
So yeah, Triple H is in this movie. He plays a strong vampire.
Strong vampire one?
Yeah, strong vampire A. There's also John Michael Higgins is in this movie.
Yes.
He's extremely professional.
So this is where I started getting freaking out because there are comedians who are legitimately funny people. Funny people who do different types of movies than this, who are in this, and I'm just like, why are you here?
Oh, I can tell you why. And it rhymes with funny. But it starts with an M.
Well, I was like, did they like?
They got paid.
I feel like Christopher Guest was like, guys, they're gonna let me make another movie, but they need some of you and some other things and some garbage, because he is not. For those of you who don't know who John Michael Higgins is, he's best known probably for his role. He's how do I explain him? To people, because when people see him, they go, oh, that guy,
he's the ultimate straight man. Imagine guy who should play every lawyer,
but he's not, because I've seen the Christopher Guest movies.
He's extremely funny, but he plays it so straight even when he's really funny,
even when he plays a gay man who loves a shih tzu.
Yeah, like even it, like
I love
I know him from Arrested Development. And there's just a part where something's happening and he's not supposed to be there. And he says, I shall duck down behind these chairs.
He reminds us very much of a guy that we both know. Cause not only does he kind of look like him, but he's very much acts like him.
Yeah.
But
so John Michael Higgins, who else?
He's also, by the way, in some of those Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show or Mighty Wind. Mm-hmm. And another actor from those movies is also in this movie.
Yes.
Actress Parker Posey is in
someone
here.
Much famouser, much more famous.
Did they want Kate Beckinsale because she was in another vampire movie? But they're like, we don't get Kate Beckinsale, so we need like the kind of funnier, not as like hot version, like the kind of like she needs to be funny. Let's get Parker Posey because she's got brown hair and a thin face.
It's so weird at her in this movie.
Why also, is she here?
I hate her contact lenses in this movie. I just think
Parker Posey can be funny,
but not
in this. Same thing with John Michael Higgins. He can be funny, but not in this.
But the thing is, they try to give, like, the movie tries to give them funny lines in this.
And they're not funny.
No, and it's like, oh, but remember, you're a vampire. So vampires don't laugh or make jokes. They just
By the way, we kind of brush over it. The villain, by the way, in this movie is Dracula, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
They
don't say that. They don't call
him
Dracula.
He goes by Drake, and every time I hear it, I just think of Drake. So... But the thing about
call my cell phone.
Yeah. But not only that. Okay. So you're like, all right, maybe they needed the paycheck. And then it breaks my heart because he has like all of five lines of dialogue. One of my favorite comedians is in this movie.
Yep.
For like 5 minutes. Patton Oswalt's in this movie. And he looks so thin.
And he's there to be the nerd that they make fun of.
By the way, did you also notice that he was wearing a Fantastic Four shirt in one scene? Because he's like, they're in the same, they're in the same universe. I can do this. And they're like, somebody's like, oh, he's got a number on his shirt. But all right, let's film the movie. Like maybe David Squire was like, all right, like I like comics. But all right, we got to do Blade now. Wesley Snipes isn't talking to me.
He's like, hey, let's talk. What if What if hey, Patton Oswalt. What if Fantastic Four was like really dark?
And then they have,
what if everybody hated everybody else? What do you think? What do you think that would be good?
And then we have,
you could be Herbie.
You know, he was probably very excited to do this movie though, because he's like, oh my god, comics, yes. Yeah. And there's one other actress in here who's moderately well known. Also, there's two other people. Oh my god, okay. How did I forget? James Remar is in this.
Dexter's dad.
I'm like, oh no, that was the first time I was like, oh no, people I like are in this, but this movie's bad. And the other girls, the girl who's in here is Natasha Leone, who you may know. She's most well known from like American Pie, but she's also in, for those of you who watch Netflix, who watch Orange is the New Black, she's on Orange is the New Black. She's a pretty major character. What's her name? Is it Nichols on Orange is the New Black?
I don't know. I haven't watched that show.
It's a good show. She's also in But I'm a Cheerleader. There's other movies she's done. She's kind of plays like the awkward friend girl most of the time.
Does she play an awkward friend zombie?
Yeah, Nikki Nichols. That's what she plays. But yeah, no, she plays blind mom in this movie, which is weird because I'm like, weren't you just in American Pie like 3 years ago? Like 4 years ago? Weren't you in American Pie?
Yeah.
Weren't you a teenager 4 years ago in the movie
and
world?
In this movie, she has a daughter and it's really depressing. Yeah. That whole scene is actually just so the worst.
Yeah, it's awful.
I'm not kidding. David Gordon is like, what if we made it darker?
You're not wrong. All right, Ryan.
He's sitting there writing and he's all, this is a pretty good scene, but what if we made it darker?
So we've talked about the cast. Let's talk about the MacGuffin of the movie. So every time on our show, we like to find a MacGuffin for a movie. What is a MacGuffin, you may ask? Well, I will tell you. Or Ryan will tell you. Ryan looked like he was ready.
I was ready. I was super stoked.
Ryan, please tell the audience what a MacGuffin is.
I don't want to know.
All right.
I'm just kidding. It's a filmmaking term, kind of Alfred Hitchcock sort of pioneered it. It generally just means the thing that people are trying to get in a movie. We use it really, really loosely here and end up talking about themes and stuff. But in The Maltese Falcon, it's The Maltese Falcon.
Thanks for using the high art movie instead of the action movie.
Yeah, we usually use Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Which it's the Ark of the Covenant. So I have to say, it's like contractually obligated to us.
No, there's not a contract. No one pays
us any
money.
You know, maybe I'm getting some secret Disney money. Need to spark that interest or Indiana Jones 5. In this movie, what is the driving? Dracula.
Yeah, they're trying to get Dracula. At the beginning, they get Dracula, and the rest of the time, they're trying to get him.
And I love, by the way, oh man, they introduce like a,
Chekhov's gun?
Chekhov's
gun. Yeah, yeah. There's this thing that'll eradicate all vampires.
But we're not sure if it works.
Yeah. But it would need the blood of the original vampire Dracula.
Stupid.
But he's nobody knows where he is.
Even though we saw these vampires wake him up in the first 8 seconds of the movie and then scream like they're dead, but then they're not really dead. Yeah, they did. They woke him up inside.
Yeah. He wakes up, he's all, the world is a vampire. just music references.
He is the worst. It's not his fault. It's just that this is the worst. This might be the worst portrayal of Dracula I've ever seen.
I like the part where he goes into the vampire store and is just
that
angry.
Goth girl?
Yeah, and then he kills her and drinks her blood.
Here's the thing. I've known a lot of goth girls. And while some of them might scream, I think a little part of them is like, oh, I'm totally into this. I want a vampire.
Even though they're being murdered.
Well, that's if they choose not to become a vampire. They'd probably be like, oh, please make me a vampire.
I thought the deal was like, if the vampire drinks all your blood, then you're dead. And if the vampire just bites you, now you're a vampire.
Oh, well, it depends. Every rule is a little bit different. In Interview with a Vampire, Ryan.
No, we're not talking about
drink a vampire's blood. Why? You don't like gay vampires?
Because the only vampires we watch are vampires who use guns.
yeah, it's true. So it's Dracula. But like, God, he's wearing tight pants and a white shirt.
He's wearing like leather pants.
Let's talk about my problem.
He's resurrected and he's wearing leather pants and a flowy shirt that only buttons once. Dude, you are not the lead singer of Creed.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan.
Okay.
Why does Blade want to kill Dracula?
Because he hates vampires.
All
of them.
Why shouldn't Whistler's daughter be the one to kill Dracula? Because Whistler's...
It's not called Whistler's Daughter, the movie. It's called Blade.
But all of Whistler's daughter's friends were murdered by Dracula.
And her family.
Well, I mean, you could argue that maybe kind of. But like, why? Like, it seems like she should have got the kill shot.
Oh, I can tell you why. Because her character had no dimension at all.
Oh, Jesus. This movie's not even really worth talking about, other than to laugh about
you know,
it.
I mean, there things happen in this
There's
movie.
People, the idea that
Purcell did all of his own stunts.
We talk about how...
So did Wesley Snipes.
We talk about how like, you have your own personal soundtrack for living your life. That was the first.
That was dumb.
No, but like that's she downloads MP3s on her player. It's like it's an iPod. We all know what this is.
They show an iPod.
They show the iTunes interface multiple times.
It's impressive.
And that's the truth. The truth
and I was
is,
like, oh, I remember when iTunes looked like that.
Yeah, and I'm like,
and then I was like, oh, it kind of sucked then too.
I'm like, the truth is, the truth is, those headphones would never stay in with all that physical activity.
I know,
they would
really
fall
true.
Out.
Those
so
headphones
easy.
Fell out so easily.
Yeah, and they've gotten better over the years.
But I guess one of the ideas of this movie was for David Goyer wanted to have a female character whose name was Rachel Van Helsing, but then instead he wrote the movie Van Helsing. Actually, I'm not super sure that he wrote it. Hey, did you notice the weird stuff with foreign languages going on in this movie? So this movie is we're just gonna guys. It's not a good movie.
No.
Okay. So
it's the worst Blade movie. You can literally watch the first one and be done.
So David Goyer is like he's the kind of guy who really really commits to really small things, and then when the big stuff comes, he's like, well, you know, just do whatever. So like all the acting in this movie, all the line readings are super flat except for Ryan Reynolds. It sounds like Ryan Reynolds. but. He's like, well, but let's build an imaginary world where half of the people in this world speak another language, but we're not going to have it be Spanish or French or Chinese or anything that's spoken in the world. Let's have it be Esperanto. And so there are signs in the movie written in Esperanto. At one point, Ryan Reynolds is watching the William Shatner movie that was in Esperanto. People speak Esperanto in the movie. The guy with the eye patch speaks Esperanto. It's actually the cinematographer. Funny that he has an eye patch. But that is an element of the background of this movie, that a lot of stuff is in Esperanto, a fake made-up language that somebody invented in the 50s.
I don't know.
Why?
Because David S. Goyer likes
it. But there's, and they couldn't bother.
I could have sworn he was watching I thought he was watching a Twilight Zone episode.
It's not. It's a movie. They didn't bother giving Jessica Biel any character things to do, but they came up with, well, what if in this world some people speak this fake made up language and let's put it everywhere. It's insane. Like it's just the worst.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that. I just was like so zoned out on this.
I did notice it because I recognized the shot from the movie and then I was like, what the heck language are people speaking? and that's when things got... It's just, it's bad. Like, come on, guys. I'm trying to look up the name.
I'm trying to remember anything redeeming from this movie that I really
like. I mean, the action sequences are really CGE. This is obviously post-Matrix, before people had decided, like, oh, like, what if we...
So here's the thing.
We didn't just use computers for everything.
Let's talk about the action sequences.
Sure, let's do it.
Very clearly, there was a car-based film franchise that was very popular. And the very beginning of the movie, they wanted there to be a car chase, which is not something that Blade has ever done.
That's
in
true.
His movies. He's a foot.
But he did drive the Charger in the other movies.
Yes, but he didn't do a car chase with nitrous that allowed him to drive faster.
And they shot it exactly like you shoot nitrous in the Fast and Furious movies.
I wonder what movies that were popular at the time. Like, that was bad enough. Then, God, this movie's so bad.
It's called Incubus, the William Shatner movie shot in black and white in Esperanto, 1965.
So then Blade and Whistler kill police officers.
Yep, a lot of them.
Then Blade is drugged by oh, God, what's his Arrested Development character's name?
I don't remember his Arrested Development character.
Oh, God.
He's a lawyer.
I don't remember what it is.
He's very professional.
He's very professional. That's the one adjective he would use to describe himself. Then, like, nothing is memorable in this to me. Like, it's so bland and boring and bad. Like, I can't remember any of it. All I remember is, like, this happens, then this. It's literally a movie. It's like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens.
Yep.
And then the movie is over. Like, I'm trying to remember any other action sequences up until the point where, oh, yeah, okay, I guess they break Blade out of jail. That's stupid.
Then, yeah, that whole part.
And then there's a part where they go out vampire hunting.
Yep.
Looking for stuff. I don't even remember how what happens there.
There's the scene in the subway with Jessica Biel where she kills all teen punk vampires.
Yeah,
and that's your introduction.
Which you totally saw coming.
To her character.
Which, come on, because no homeless lady looks as pretty as Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
No, or clean for that matter. And she looked like she was a homeless pregnant lady, or not pregnant lady, a homeless mother.
Well, and she was carrying the thing that you, if you're in a movie, you're going to carry if you're going to the grocery store. It's a paper bag with a baguette and some wilted lettuce sticking out of it.
Always. And then what else happens? That's it. And then they fight Dracula at the end.
Yeah, and then they commit genocide and kill every vampire that exists.
Yes. Well, they
and the name of it is Daystar, which is also the name of the production company on that William Shatner movie Incubus. What the heck? Why? That people wear Oakleys in this movie?
Well, Daystar is also. You could technically say the sun is also Daystar.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they can't go out in the sun. Yeah. Except for Dracula can for some reason. And also his face.
Oh, my God. That part with the baby. They're chasing Dracula.
No, that part was so stupid.
I know. And he throws
like it was
the baby.
Completely pointless.
He throws the baby. He kidnaps a baby. And then Blade. He was like, so Blade, like, you're this. You're Daywalker. They want to all become Daywalkers like you. I don't know why I hate you, but I don't like you. Even though I don't like these vampires because they're not pure blood vampires. They don't have this weird skeletal demon face like I got, which I guess is what vampires
are
supposed
to look like. And he can shapeshift?
Yep, into different people.
Yeah, just like
and
bats.
Whistler,
you know.
Yep, and he can he's invulnerable to nigh everything.
This movie's not good.
No, and the Ash sequence at the end even is bad. It's just a shirtless red man in leather pants fighting Blade. And that is what I remembered about Blade Trinity before we watched it was there's a red devil looking guy who's they called Dracula or Drake or whatever they call him. He's supposed to be Dracula.
Draco Malfoy.
And he fights Blade at the end. And then they do a Fast and Furious montage of this virus affecting his body and killing all the other vampires while Ryan Reynolds tries to be funny. And there's vampire dogs that run out a window.
And maybe Blade dies, but then no, he didn't.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's not really much to say. I mean, it's not very good at all. Like and like all the other Blade movies at least had something that was memorable about it, or like at least like the like there's the, you get a little more into like the vampire underworld and these different families and stuff, and they like gloss over all of that.
They
don't explain how any of that ties in well to Dracula. And I figure like, oh, maybe Dracula is gonna be like mad that all these like vampire families exist, he's gonna go after him.
Yeah.
But he goes from being literally like, I figured he was just gonna be a lone guy.
And he's like no, whatever agenda you guys have, like I'm in it. Let's do it.
Yeah, he's like, all right, why not? Let's do it. Like he literally went
like,
from being
like, I hate all you guys. And then 5 minutes later, he's like, but let's do that thing you said.
Yeah, and that's what drives me up a freaking wall. Like I don't understand why.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Part of me wonders, like, this is David S. Goyer. It's not his first, but it's his first big movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how much studio interference there was on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's a movie with a writer and director kind of first time. So I wonder if it's one of those things where like everybody was just sort of afraid to tell him, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Or, why don't you not do this? And he's like, look, I am writer and director of Blade Trinity. You can say nothing to me.
Yeah.
Just sort of like J.K. Rowling the last couple of Harry Potter books. It's like, hey, you know, maybe don't make this book 800 pages. She's like, no.
I have a story to tell.
I'm J.K. Rowling.
I have a story to tell.
I do what I want. And I'm like, okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. How much sugar would you like in your tea? Like, it's.
Hey, man. I saw another trailer for that Fantastic Beasts movie. Looks pretty awesome.
Okay.
Looks pretty hardcore.
Sure. No. I mean, like. That's fine. See, other people are involved
with
the movies.
Grindelwald is mentioned, for God's sake.
Other people are involved with the movies.
Yes.
I'm just saying her books tend to sprawl after.
So what you're saying is that we should trust the marketing and management team at Warner Brothers?
No.
Exactly.
That they should have gotten a better director.
That's true.
Because Guillermo del Toro made a good movie out of
this. Yeah, you know, he like the thing
and
that
even
was
Stephen Norton in the first movie.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
I really like the first movie. I still think the first movie is great. Like yeah. I enjoy Stephen Dorff.
The first
Dorf
movie
in it.
Is good and super dark. And it works. And this movie is like, hey, but super dumb.
And the second one ups the ante. Like, does this happen? This doesn't even. That's the thing. Also, the other thing. The only way it's sequel escalation is we have more characters.
Yeah.
The stakes aren't any higher, really.
Yeah. No.
Really? Like, it's just another vampire he has to kill. Like,
he's another
what's
bad guy.
Dracula's plan?
They
want to make the vampires walk in the day. What have they done at all in this movie to try to do that?
Nope.
He mentions it once, like, they have a concurrent plan. And they never bring it up again.
Well, it's weird because it's like, well, we need Dracula's blood to commit genocide on all vampires. And the vampire's like, oh, we need Blade's blood to make it so we can go out in the sun.
And they never do anything to try to get Blade's blood.
And then fighting.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
This is the only one of the Blade movies where immediately before the final battle, Blade doesn't drink somebody's blood.
Yeah.
He does that in the other movies.
That's also true. He has these like weird little like retainers he puts in. No, it's full of his serum.
It's more like an inhaler.
It's like a shot.
It's like he's doing a popper.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a blood popper.
Oh God. All right.
Don't see this movie.
No, don't.
So let's blockbuster or lackluster.
Okay, let's talk about rating. First of all, did you watch this with your wife or did you watch it alone?
I did.
And I'm guessing she didn't care. She walked away.
She was not paying attention and then fell asleep.
Yeah.
She's like, it's another one of these movies.
Almost what I had to do. Because I'm so glad we're done with these. I knew like this kind of has tainted the Blade movies for me.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know. So out of 10, what would you give it, Ryan? It's a short episode this time. Don't worry. We'll have more to say next time. I think. Maybe.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like 3 is pretty harsh, but I'm hovering it.
Oh, I'm hovering it. I'd give it a 2, and that's basically for Ryan Reynolds singers.
3 laser.
Oh yeah, things? I forgot that thing.
Laser things.
Yeah,
it's a UV laser.
I would say 2. I would say okay, that's pretty good. I would say 2. I'm gonna even lower.
Oh, I'm giving it a 3 because it's called Blade Trinity.
Oh, I'm giving it a 2 because there's a couple zingers in there that made me laugh. I'm probably gonna give it 2 for some Ryan Reynolds zingers, but I'm gonna give it 2 scenes of Patton Oswalt doing something he would never do in real life, which is play a sport.
Oh yeah,
he's like, oh, we're playing basketball. Yeah. I'm good at it. I'm like, what?
Hey, you know what? Some people play basketball. It's nothing wrong.
What?
Nothing like, wrong with being
you're
good at
Patton
sports.
Patton Oswalt, you don't play basketball.
He might.
It made me so sad.
I hope that Patton Oswalt.
All these people, I was just
balls
when
frequently
when they were in here. You know, one thing I will say that's interesting. That I did like about this movie is that something they haven't done before. The one thing I will say was an interesting kind of idea, but they didn't explore it enough. I like the idea of Blade being chased by the police.
Okay, yeah,
I like the idea of Blade having to prove that vampires exist.
What about?
But that never comes around again.
What about the idea of having hundreds of human shrink wrapped, and then you're slowly draining?
Oh yeah, okay, that was kind of messed up. That was kind of like, oh, that's messed up.
That was also very like, hey, but like the Matrix.
Yeah. Oh God, totally. Oh man, it was so bad.
Guys, what if they did Matrix vampires?
That's
what this movie wished it was.
Lackluster. This movie's lackluster.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
No.
Watch Blade 1 and 2 and that's it. Then turn it off forever.
Just pretend the third one doesn't exist.
Yep. Pretend it doesn't exist. That's it. That's all I can tell you. All right, Ryan. I'm ready to have a drink.
Ian, what movie are we going to watch next time? What sequel?
Well, firstly, thank you for sitting through Blade 3 with us. If you watch this, bless your soul.
There's definitely like a cult of people who are super into this movie.
Tell us why we're wrong. Please. I really want someone who likes this movie to tell me why we're wrong on this.
Just tweet it.
What did we miss? What did we forget? So yeah, that's Blade. So that is Blade Trinity, and that is our show for this week. Next time we'll be watching another movie, which I actually remember I would say fairly fondly, not like
I've never seen it before.
I had seen it. I think I'd also seen it in the movie theater. I don't remember though for sure, but I remember being excited when it came out because this was the first one of these movies my dad pulled me out of school to go see. So needless to say,
it was
a movie. So we're going to be watching the sequel to 1999's The Mummy called The Mummy Returns.
Oh.
So thank you so much for joining us. And remember, you can subscribe or subscribe to us on there.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Suggest movies. Write us emails.
Like us on
Facebook.
That
stuff. And come back next time when we'll be continuing Monster Mash Monthtober 3 with Mummy Returns. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or a lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.